there is a couple things that happen in Parak Gimel and Parak Daled which are a little bit interesting. This is all going to be regarding Musar and Consolation. Parak Gimel and Hosea. Hosea in the very, very beginning. So, the Abarbanel says that most of what's going to happen over here is Hosea is trying to convey to the people what they're going to be like in exile. What's going to happen regarding Hashkacha Pratis when we're in exile. Now, I just want to point this out. There is a famous Machlokas Rambam and Ramban regarding the ideas of Hashkacha Pratis. The Rambam in Mor Nevuchah makes him, Chelek Gimel mentions, that Hashkacha Pratis works in a qualious way for people, but not necessarily on individuals in every second of every day, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows people to sort of make their own decisions. Now, that's my translation of the Rambam. There are other people who are going to take it to another extreme completely. What the Rambam is saying, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't pay attention at all. But I believe what the Rambam is saying is that he allows people to make their own decisions. Meaning, if a person takes a gun and shoots another person, it did not mean that that person who was shot already was decided that he was going to die. A person can kill another person without HaKadosh Baruch Hu having decreed it so beforehand.
Yeah, but what about me, Yichya, me, Yamus?
There's no question. There are a lot of shilohs on what the Rambam means. But how the Rambam learned it, again, this is my translation of it, but it seems that the only other way to take it is the other extreme, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sort of like lifted out from it. But I don't think that's the Rambam
learned,
at all.
We learned that in here.
It's a different issue. It's totally different.
No, but we learned that whole idea of that person avoids certain things.
Totally different. Or Ramchal based. Yeah, Ramchal based. No, totally different. But the Ramban has the famous Machlokas on it. The Ramban mentions that Hashkacha Pratis is on every person, every second of the day. Again, there's Machlokas and how the Ramban learns it up. But Lefi Rav Dessler, or the way, again, that I understand Rav Dessler, it seems that the Ramban understands that their Hashkacha Pratis applies to every human being, and that if I would shoot somebody, it means the other person had to die. He was supposed to die, and either it could have been killed through me, or you would have been hit by lightning at that second. But the fact that I killed him was not me. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu killing him, and then I was the evil person who was sent by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to let that happen. Now, we're going to worry about right now. Yeah, for sure, you're chayav.
From the Rambam?
Yeah, according to everybody.
So it's not a defense.
According to everyone, yeah. There's no defense for it. But according to everyone, you're chayav.
You're a Bechira somewhere in there.
You were the... Yeah, but the Bechira was HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this to happen, could have allowed it to happen through someone else, but you decided to let it happen through you. But if you wouldn't have shot him, he would have died anyway. That's the understanding the Ramban uses. So the question is, how is that going to happen when we go inside Galus? Is that Hashkacha Pratis going to remain while we're in Eretz Yisrael, we're under the hand, so to speak, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? When we decide to worship other gods, will we lose that method of Hashkacha Pratis? That's the idea behind this text. So, Yomar Shemelai, Od Leich Ad Isha Huvas Reya. Hashem said to me, now you have to go and love a woman that is beloved by a friend of yours, and she is an adulterer. And you have to love him, and that will be like the love of Hashem to Bnei Yisrael. Yet nonetheless, they turn to other gods. And they love cups of wine. Ashisha are the cups of wine that are given over to them, that they can't stop taking all that wine. It's a strange thing altogether. Before, Hosea was told to marry a girl. It's possible that this is the same story, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was using this, and finally he's giving the Nimshal. Remember, I told you to marry the girl? Here you go. Now you're loving that girl who, what was the point in the first place? She was adultering and she was doing terrible things under you. What was wrong? The Rambam Ibn Ezra feel that this is all a dream. So all of this is within a dream and it never really happened. But yeah.
Actually, being an adulteress when she married him, like, I know that
she was, according to the Rambam Ibn Ezra, no, because it was all a dream, and the same woman that he married before was the woman that he loves now. So it's all the same. There's no difference. According to Abarbanel, it's two different people. He married a woman who was an adulteress and a harlot, etc. And then he was told to love a woman, to find love among a woman that was going to be like this. And again, it was to show him the same exact thing. It's so strange.
So he's supposed to marry an adulteress?
That was the first in Parakala. Oh. This is not supposed to be that way. He's supposed to love her. And that idea is that how am I supposed to love Bnei Yisrael who are adulterating? In other words, being together with the other idols and doing things that are out there. How in the world could I allow this, could I have that love? Well, you see that you love that woman, even though you know she's adulterating under you, so too I love Bnei Yisrael, even though they're doing terrible things under me. That's the idea. So Pasuk Beis, Va'ekreha li, the Hamisha Asar Kasav, I acquired her for me for 15 silver pieces of a homer se'orim, and a homer of barley, v'lesach se'orim, and a lesach of barley as well. So it seems, right, that there's going to be, this seems to be like sort of like arachin. Arachin is mentioned in Parshas Bechar, when you mention how much the value of a person is, you pay for them for the Beis HaMikdash, etc. Seemingly that's the amount. So meaning he says, I am vowing to give that amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash, and that he would give that amount of money to the Beis HaMikdash itself.
To represent his love?
To represent the love. No, to show how much he loves her. See, I'm willing to make a kiddush for you. You hear what I'm saying? Like, I'm willing to donate to High Lifeline for you. Like, that's what I'm willing to do for you. So it showed his love by doing something.
When they make those appeals, like in Shul, they really got to use this a little more.
Yeah, it's not 16 shekel of kesef this stuff right now. But anyway, regardless,
you really love your wives. You
it is it is crazy. But the pshat is the kesef refers to the nechsof nechsafti. We say in Shalosh Shudos, we sing what's it called? Yedid nefesh. Nechsof nechsafti is that I truly desire to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The kesef that's alluded to over here is a reference to Bnei Yisrael having that desire to come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that desire to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though they're off and they're doing whatever it is, allows them to be fed. Even though they're only fed barley food and like beans and whatever it is, they're not getting the best of food they could possibly get. Nonetheless, they're still able to get something out of it, and that is something that's able to go through. What do you
Don't we say, or maybe I'm making it up, that when God counts us, it's out of love?
Yes, for sure.
And we give him kesef for that. Money is involved in that
kesef. They do say that. The Hasidim say that. The Hasidim are the ones that are the Chassi Shekel Kesef. Why do they give the Chassi Shekel Kesef? To show their desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're the ones who end up doing stuff like that. That's 100% true. Either way, others say that this is betrothing her, meaning this is actually Kiddushin. I personally understand the idea over here as being a Kiddushin. I don't really understand so much how this is a separate case, like the Abarbanel was saying. I sort of see it as the same thing, that he's Makadosh or this. And this parak really belongs after the first parak. You'll sit and wait for me for many days. Do not become a zone of a Losi'eliish. Do not go to another man. I will do the same to you. I'm not going to do anything as well. Okay, so everything's over there. They're not going to be going to anybody else. For many days, Bnei Yisrael are going to sit. They're not going to have any king. That's during the times of the prophets, which was terrible. Remember during the Shoftim, because Ein Melech Ba'aretz, there were terrible things that happened with Pesel Micha, with Pilagish Begiva. There was no prince, no person in charge.
For a king was a bad thing.
It was, because at the time they had Shmuel and Navi. When you have Shmuel and Navi, you don't ask for a king, right? But nonetheless, the king can help, because as you know, people go through, the policeman that's in the street is a very, very powerful being. Hey, but now just come over here. So either way,
Rashi says Yamim Yes. The Elul Chamishin Yom Shevein Pesach Atzer.
Who does he? Yeah. I have that over here somewhere. Yeah. Oh, so he had it over here from altogether the 50 days. He also goes to the 15 days over there, the 15 days that they counted. Very, very good. And then it says Ein Zevach Vein Matseva. They had no korban. They had no matseva, no place to put up their sacrifice. Vein Eifo Tesrafim. No other way to be able to go involved and stuff like that. In other words, the idea is they still did not get involved with the Avodah Zarah at the times. They didn't try to find out the future or anything like that. Achar Yashuvu Bnei Yisrael. Afterward, Bnei Yisrael is going to turn back. They're going to search out their God. Hashem, their God. They're going to come trembling to a control of Achar Yashuvu. That will happen at the very, very end of days. So the idea is once again, if we're going back to the muscles, that the wife found that even though she did stray after certain men, right, she realized how good she had it with Hosea. How could she have done such things? She realizes that her first husband, or the husband that had betrothed her and given her the money, or given up the money for her, that was something that they all wanted. And we realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really in it for all of us and trying to do things for us. That's the idea behind it, behind what we're saying over here.
This is what really happens. I'm maybe because I missed the first chapter. What is the point of doing this to this poor guy?
What, Hosea?
Yeah. Like, you got to prove it like on his skin. Like,
we've never seen it.
Well, we got one explanation.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
It wasn't necessary that he did.
That was the Rambam and the Ibn Ezra, correct. We said that earlier as well, that the Rambam and Ibn Ezra said this is all a vision. According to others, listen, we had answers. I mean, the Hosea was
listen to the tapes.
Yeah, Hosea was able to do such things. It's right here, page 8 and page 9 over here. It's difficult to listen. It's a very hard
thing almost, you know.
Except this wasn't as bad. It's not like that. Shimud Bar Hashem Bnei Yisrael. So listen to the word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bnei Yisrael. It's a Karak Dalet. Ki Riv LaHashem Bnei Yisrael. It's because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was fighting with those who live in the land. Ki Ein Emes Ve'Ein Chesed Ve'Ein Das Elokim Ba'aretz. Because there is no truth, there is no chesed, there is no das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu throughout the entire world, throughout the entire land of Eretz Yisrael. Hosea is again saying, again, we've got to remember when we're talking about in the middle of the times of the kings, or in times of Chizkiah and all the other people around. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was sitting there and saying, I can't find people who are truthful enough for me to be able to give this to. The majority of the people are not acting the way it is, and it's just not happening. They're not living up to their agreement, so what does a rentor do to the renter who's not paying their rent? Well, what am I going to do? I got to kick them out of the house. That's the only way. That's what it has to be over here. Notice, by the way, it's Ein Emes Ve'Ein Chesed Ve'Ein Das Elokim Ba'aretz. The third thing is Das Elokim, which is the Torah learning that they had. The main problem is that they weren't acting with chesed and emes first, meaning chesed number one, emes in their business. They weren't helping other people. They weren't acting righteously when it came to their business. And number three, the last thing, is referring to the fact that they weren't doing enough Torah learning or mitzvos, etc., which shows you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw how it was going. It's true, if a person learns Torah, that's what he says at the end, then obviously he's going to be able to have chesed, and he's going to have emes as well if he does it correctly, right? But that was something they had. Allah v'chachesh. I see oaths. I see lying. Ratzoach v'ganov. I see murder and stealing. Na'ov paratzu. And then I see adultery as well. Paratzu, they're breaking all of the bonds, the binding, the ropes around them. Bedamim bedamim nago. When blood is touching blood. The idea is that there's so much murder. When you hear one person is murdered, you hear, you're not even over the shock before the next person is murdered. And then you're not even over that before the third person. Unfortunately, yeah.
Blood from one dead body touching the third person.
Which is disgusting, but I don't think it's literal. I mean, it definitely could be that there was one time that happened, but I don't think it meant something like that. I think it more means that, like, it just kept happening one after the other, and they were trying to do. And obviously, if you look at this, the order is also very interesting. If a person swears falsely and then lies about it in court, then he could get murdered in order to steal the stuff away from that person who lied in court. Meaning, all of these things could be connected in one real case. One real case.
False witness is punished by what he wanted to do to the other person.
Well, Edom's Omen is not an easy situation.
Right.
No, I mean, you have to have a very specific situation to get Edom's Omen.
So you wanted to murder somebody, you had him put to death.
But you got to say, Imanu Yisam B'makom.
Right, but I think the point is, the logic is pretty obvious in what Edom's Omen is, why they get that punishment.
Oh, why? No, I don't think it's punishment. I think it's just that the person lied in court. Like, Reuven took Shimon to court and said, you owe me $1,000. Shimon said, I don't know what you're talking about. I never borrowed $1,000 for it from you.
Yeah, but lady comes
right
in and says,
he swears in court, you lied. No Edom. Then forget about the Edom.
Oh.
It's just Reuven and Shimon.
Yeah.
And Reuven's so mad at Shimon, he kills him to take back the money.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about Edom necessarily. Just all one case. That Al-Kain, Ta'avala Arad, therefore the whole land is going to be in Avelos. But Umlau Kol Yishibah, and everybody's going to be just be so poor, the word languish over here. Kol Yishibah. The Chayz Zerba Opesh Mai Megam Degei Ayam Yaseifu, the wild animals of the field, the birds of the heavens, even the fish of the sea are going to perish. Now, the idea is that if we run the land, that means everything in the land runs by us. So if we do something that's bad, right, then it's going to affect the animals of the land. So that even the animals of the land are going to perish, even the birds of the land, even the fish are going to perish when we do something that's wrong, because everything's there for us, and when we do things that are bad, that's what's going to happen to there.
This is the difference between us and the non-Jews, because in the times of Noah, the fish didn't, everybody else didn't besides the fish.
Good call. No, I'm going to say no. Non-Jews is the exact same way, because even non-Jews affect the animals around them, right? It's all the same thing. Meaning, a human being affects around everything around him, animals, in the world, really around him. That's the way to understand.
Our carry is creating their neshamas.
it's a different issue. But the birds, the fish that you're talking about, right? That's referring to fish that had no shaykhis to any of them because they were in the oceans in the middle of nowhere. These fish are the fish of the land, but not the fish of the oceans necessarily. Ish al yorev, no man,
like the fish,
right, should fight. Al yochach ish, no man's going to give reproof. Amcha kim rivei kohen, your people are those that fight with Kohanim. We all know the Kohanim are willing to fight, right? Those are the people, the hot-headed Kohanim. All these people like that. So the Radak says that this is a command that he should not tell the person, right? You shouldn't give them musr that they're not going to listen to. You can't go up to the man and say, don't fight, don't give musr, don't do anything like that, because they're not going to be that way. Instead, you have to do it in such a way that's not like that. It's an amazing type of business, but when instead of giving that rebuke, instead you like give the guy a donut and say, I'm sure you're going to do better next time. You know, it's just a strange way of doing things, right? But that's what's out there. But
isn't that like a little bit patronizing?
No, not if you mean it. Not if the person is the right
person
for it.
I'm sure you're not going to do better next time.
No. If the person means it, he says, that's not... Okay, let me give you an example. I don't mean to say it this way.
You feel like that with kids.
Habdil al-Bail of Abdullah, okay? Joe Madden and the Cubs. When they lose a game, he's not like all upset and whatever it is. They have a party. They have a losing party. Right?
They're not like that. Losing party.
Okay, nonetheless, guaranteed they'll do something like that, but he's not like that. He's a different type of... you have to mean it. You have to be somebody that's like that.
Out of here.
Nonetheless, I'm just saying, like, that's the example that you could give, like, if a person could do that. I don't think I have the ability to do that, but I'm sure there are people like that. But Chashal Tayom, you will stumble by the day, the Koshal Gam Navi Imchal Laila, and even the Navi stumbles with you in the night, the Damisi Imecha. I resemble, in other words, he's trying to say, I am going to destroy your mother. Now, it's not literally your mother over here, obviously, it's the ones that are in charge. The idea says like this, that they tell the coin, right, that accept our muster and what we end up saying. We're like a mother reproving all of her sons that are end up going bad. That's the idea. Now, it could be that the Navi that we're referring to over here is not the real Navi who is doing something wrong. It's rather the false Navi, meaning the Nevi'ei Sheker are the ones who are doing it at night. In the day, they seem to be these holy people that everything was going well for them. But at night, they were doing whatever they wanted, right? And they were doing evil things, and that's what it means. You stumble by day, you're not even embarrassed to do it by day. The priest is a little embarrassed, so he does it at night, right? And then at the very end, it says that the idea is that I resemble your mother, that everything is resembling, they're all connected to one another, so to speak. So your mother is like umcha, your own, your nation.
I'm pretty sure that when
like
you insult somebody's mother, or like you
gotta stop this. Nidnu ami mibli hadas. My people, right, are resembled, or again, the line of being destroyed. Mibli hadas, because they lack in knowledge. Kiatoa das moasa, because you reject knowledge. Therefore, I couldn't allow you to be Kohanim for me. You forgot the Torah of your God, therefore I will forget your children as well. It seems a little ludicrous to me that people could forget the Torah learning when they had the base of Mikdash, but apparently that did happen, and people were forgetting things one after the other. Listen, during the times of the second base of Mikdash, during the times of Hillel, they forgot what to do if the Korban Pesach had to be brought on Shabbos. If the 14th of Nisan was on Shabbos and the 15th of Nisan is on Sunday, they had no idea what to do and how to bring the Shechita knives to the Beis HaMikdash to shech the animal, because you couldn't carry the animal, so what were you going to do? They went to Hillel, and Hillel said, Hanach B'nai Yisrael in Nevi'im, in Lav Nevi'im Hain, B'nai Nevi'im Hain. If they're not Nevi'im, they're B'nai Nevi'im. They'll figure it out. And that's, there were a bunch of people who put the comb, the Shechita knife, in the wool of the sheep in their backyards, and the sheep went up. He said, see, that's how you end up doing things. But you see that people forgot things from year to year. Yeah, there were many, many people who didn't have it. And that was the whole thing. That Yehillel was yelling at the B'nai B'Zira before for saying, this is the Gemara in Pesachim around the fourth parak, fifth parak, the beginning of the parak, where he says to them, he's like, you guys didn't learn by Shmai and Italian, and therefore you don't have that Masorah. And Hillel forgot that part of the Masorah.
It's not so ludicrous that they forgot, because now in this point in history, they're confused. There's already a second base.
Agreed. There's no question. They're already confused. By that time.
In general,
but the first base of
people were learning. No, I'm saying in the first base of image, you had like just all this nonsense going on. And
it's hard. Dave, you just asked that same question. You look at Ravidya Miller or Robert Wine's books on history, and it seems like the majority still were Torah learned and still were Talmidei Chachamim in a way.
Where's the Gemara? They were all the time with
David HaMelech and his fights with Doeg Achitofel, all those types of people.
David HaMelech's not talking about the end of Bayezid.
Doeg Achitofel. No, you are correct. But even so, Chizkiyo, the Gemara says that everybody at the time
but these were all like, you know, okay, but these are like little what about when the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed?
It's difficult to say that everybody could become experts in Tumah Vatarah in a couple of years of Chizkiyo's game. Now, I agree. It's hard. It's hard to say. But on the other hand, you see other extremes. So let's use that extreme. Let's say that's true, but then by Menashe it says that there was no Torah around, right? No Sefer Torah around.
Where they found the Torah and it was like, oh my gosh.
Right, but I mean, all the Rishonim except for two say that that was the Sefer HaTorah, the one of Moshe Rabbeinu. Listen, what would I assume? I can make assumptions. I'm not positive. I would assume that you at least, you'd have at least like what you have today, a 12th of the Jews that were telling me to come.
Yeah, like
at least
Levine.
You'd assume. I would assume even more so. I assume that Yisachar still kept on something. Yehuda was still Mechokikim. You'd assume that there's people
like
that.
It was clearly they didn't have a printing press.
We still have the 10 tribes. I don't see that as an issue. But you know what? I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. My assumption is that there were tremendous Talmidei Chachamim.
Yes, the Jewish nation wouldn't have survived without. No,
for sure not. We see historically, it's true. We don't survive when we don't have the Talmidei Chachamim.
The populace as a whole was learning, and I don't know that.
Maybe it wasn't the top, again. You might not need a majority. Who knows? It's a hard line. I don't have any. And you're right. There are no absolute proofs. You see little things here and there from Gemaras and Agadah that are able to say it to you. And then the kasha is whether you take it literally, etc. No suggestion from the text. It's not what it's talking about.
It talks in generalities.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people worshiping idols. It doesn't say how many people.
The muster was given over to some people. How many people were like Rabbi Akiva before he was Rabbi Akiva?
Dave just gave a good example.
I like this example. Dave said, like, how many people were like Rabbi Akiva out there? I could name for you 35 Tanoim that are mentioned in the times of the Mishnah who were Bedavka after Rabbi Yeshua and Rabbi Elazar and before Rabbi Yehuda.
How many people were like Rabbi Akiva when he was Rabbi Akiva? How many people were like Rabbi Akiva before he was 40?
I would assume equal amounts. We have hundreds of Talmidei Chachamim
reported. He wasn't well learned. He was
a lot of them. If you deal with 24,000 Talmidei of Rabbi Akiva, I'm not arguing that point. I'm just saying you're dealing with somebody who says, but look, we only see Rabbi Akiva, so to speak. But is that true? There were 24,000 Talmidei. You had hundreds of Talmidei Chachamim that are mentioned that are Tanayim that lived in the times of Rabbi Akiva. I know. Not comparable in that way, but I'm just saying, where you have a dearth of information, well, even though we have more information about
Rabbi Akiva,
but you just hear about the big ones, and
so he was to learn. So before that,
Rabbi Akiva's mentioned in Shabbos Kufnun Beis as being the person who was Dama Chavschus. Again, Akiva, even as an Ama Aretz, was still a really good person, and was living among Horkinus, who was the father of Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkinus, who was the Talmid Chacham per excellence. We're dealing with Ben Sitzak Kesset, Nagdin Ben Gurion. We're dealing with tremendous
other shepherds and stuff were equally different.
It depends who.
Even there were the Sadducees and the sects who weren't what we would call, you know, Orthodox or in those days.
Nonetheless, we're dealing with the Pharisees. But let's look. Pasachat. Chatas ami yochelu. They feed on the sin of my people. Now, and they set their hearts on their sins themselves. So here's what the Navi is rebuking against the Kohanim themselves. They eat the chatos. They eat the korban chatos that they're bringing for their chatos, obviously, for their sins that they had done. And they encourage the people to do more sins so that they can eat more korban chatos. Oh, you better not do that again or I'm going to get a korban chatos. Right? You don't want something like that. They're teaching forcing the people to be as sinful as they are in order for them to bring more and more for them to be involved. That's the idea behind it. They want that sin even more. All the people are going to end up being like the priests. Just people that are sitting there and hoping that others do things for them. I'm going to punish them for the ways and I'm going to pay him back for his deeds. But they're going to eat from the korbanos, from those korbanos of the people. They will not be satisfied. It was one of the miracles of the Beis HaMikdash was that when you ate just a tiny little bit of the lechem upon him, you were able to become satisfied from it. Just a tiny little bit of it was enough to be able to satisfy you. They're going to eat and they're not going to be satisfied with their kutchen. He is no velo yifrotzu. They're going to commit harlotry and they will not increase, meaning they're going to be together with hundreds of women, these people. And they're not going to have any kids from them. Yes, Hashem azvulishmor. They ceased to listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and they guard what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like that. So, again, the fact that they would eat just a little bit should have been enough. But no, it's not going to be the way. That's what the Ni'am Lo'i says and that's the idea behind it. Okay, that's the next. Nus b'yayin v'tirosh yikach leiv. Here's the three things that take away one's heart. And really, two and three are very similar. Znus takes away your ability to think clearly. Yayin and tirosh, which is wine and drinks. You know, that drinking something that is that causes strong drink, let's say. All things that take away your ability to think straight and your ability to have true dots. You have no ability to make a decision when you're sitting there being seduced by a woman that you can't get your mind over. And so too when a person is drunk. There's no way he's going to be able to think. It says in Pasuk Yibayit, Ami be'etzel yishol, my people, they ask advice from a piece of wood. Umaklu yagidlo, his makel tells him what to do. Says the Ni'am Lo'i, that refers to
Tirosh is new wine, yayin is yayin yashin.
Whatever, you know. I would assume that refers to
Tirosh usually refers to in the Torah, first wine.
Yeah. Just intoxicating drink. You know, that's going to be that. But umaklu yagidlo, he takes his makel, and this is a type of magic that they did regarding, you know, yagid, when they would do chover chaver or whatever it was. They'd put the stick out there and they'd turn it that way. What are those things called? The ones that look for water, you know, the little things like
those
that.
Those guys are cool.
So the Avodah Zarah people that, like, yeah.
They find it though. They're stuff like that. Those dead Bedouins, they know what they're doing. They can actually find water like that.
Yeah.
There's some sort of.
They're not doing magic. They know how to, like, loosen.
No, I think it has to do with, like, a pole.
Specifically was magic and stuff like that they were doing. Their makel tells them what to do. Ki ruach zenunim hisa. And the reason why is because this ruach of zenunim, where they just want to be mezana and go out and do whatever they want, it's causing them to sin. By yizna v'tachas alayim, therefore they go against their God. If those gods are allowing them to be together with other people, allowing them to sleep with people that they normally would never be able to sleep together with, then clearly it's going to be a problem. That's what's causing them to do avodah zarah. They want to do avodah zarah because look at what I'm allowed to do. On the tops of the mountains, they're starting to shekel. They burn incense on the hills. Right underneath the oak tree and the livne, I don't know what it is. Ela is another type of oak tree, you know, some type of like that. Because the shade is really good. So don't ask any questions when your daughters are committing this nus and when your daughter-in-laws start sleeping around them. You wonder why? Because you're the one who's causing all this thing. Your daughter learned from you. Your daughter-in-laws learned from you.
Monkey see, monkey do.
That's the idea behind it. I will not punish your daughters, so to speak, when they do the vakalosechem. Because they turn themselves away with the zonos. They're people that just without understanding, and that's what's happening for them to stumble, so to speak. I can't punish them as badly because they had no idea. They didn't even know what was wrong. What did they do that was wrong? They're learning all these things from you, so it's as if to say they're tinoke shenispa when it comes to something like that. And that's that. And that's the pshat. The Gemara in Sota says at the very, very end that the mei sota, they stopped drinking the mei sota when it became so crazy that there were so many cases that they had to bring to the Beis HaMikdash, they had to stop completely.
Like
that is just too much.
Were they all dying?
No, because there were too many men that were doing the same thing. And when the man, the husband, does the same thing, then the woman doesn't blow up. So because that was happening, they were taking the woman, and the woman was
going to be soaked in water. Oh, you mean with another
man? The man was with another woman.
Wouldn't it be a married woman, Zafka?
She's not
doing the same
over there.
She's a single.
See, it's a good call. Being together with a single woman was still in Avera at the time. Now, although it's not a deal right, though. Not a deal right.
But it's not the same Avera that she's guilty of.
Yichud of a Pnuya was made by the time
she's more out of Masya.
You are correct. we're not saying they're equal. They may not have been equal. Normally, adultery is not equal from one to the other.
I was
but doing something that was wrong was right that way. Now, I hear you. The Gemara does not say that. But you know what we'd have to ask? We'd ask somebody who did Sota V'in. I did Sota V'kiyas. I've never done Sota V'in. You need to ask somebody who's in that Gemara.
I just always
the Gemara says
it was referring to another woman who was married.
My assumption was always that it's any type of znus which could cause it to be. Because it just says it was Mizana. Now, that could be with another woman who he wasn't engaged to or married to.
I was referring to
a Zona. I hear what you're saying.
I would assume
yeah,
was,
I hear what you're saying.
Well, Zona is a single woman, right?
I know you're saying. No, I know, but I assume that is the same type of sin that she was involved in.
But that's
my
the point.
I could be wrong.
Regardless, the point, let's say it was with married woman. The point is that they had to stop it because so many people were being over on it together that it wasn't working at all. So Rigamil stopped it. Rigamil said it's over. It can't be done anymore.
Well, that just also goes to show maybe that people, yeah, that was in Bais Cheney, that this, people weren't so from.
So to speak. During
that
time.
There were so many people committing adultery.
That's pretty bad.
That's pretty
no,
bad.
No, but it was a misinterpretation of the rules.
Why is it a misinterpretation of the rules?
I'm pretty sure that rule is clear.
Hey. No, I hear what David said. I'm hearing you also because Avodah Zarah was not as popular anymore.
Okay.
Right? So because even though clearly we have Avodah Zarah even today, but Chazal say they took away that.
Whatever
it means, right? So if we have a riot that was being done, all you need are 5 cases to be popularized in a year in which 5 people brought their wives and the wives didn't blow up. There's like, but we know about that woman. That woman's a well-known Zona and she didn't blow up. Must be it doesn't work anymore. All you need are a couple cases like that.
Well, why wouldn't it work?
Because again,
the guy was guilty.
Yeah. So I... You
and
have to get that out.
If you know she's Zona and she didn't blow up, then you can...
That's a good call also, by the way. That's a good call also. There were definitely were the Tzedukin at the time. This is Rav Gamliel the First. The Tzedukin were not only starting off,
also,
they were big.
The Kohen, I don't know who was the Kohen Gadol at the time or Rav Gamliel the First, but the Kohanim weren't,
they weren't the best.
They were some of the Kohen Gadol people,
yeah,
some of them.
You're right, because that's how I feel 480. The 480. All right. Anyway, in Zona Atal Yisrael, Al Yasham Yehuda, if B'nai Yisrael, you're going to play that you're going to be the Zona, then don't let Yehuda take on the blame. Al Tavohu HaGilgol, Al Talabes Amin, Al Tishavi Chai Hashem. Right? So don't come to Gilgol, nor go up to Beis Amin. Don't swear, by the Lord lives, this is what it ends up being over here. So here's the shot over here. B'nai Yisrael is saying, well, Yehuda, they're the ones at the Beis HaMikdash, right? We're the ones who are not able to go to the Beis HaMikdash because of all the guards of Yerubim Ben Nevat and what they ended up doing. So they'll say, like, Yehuda, what's going on? You're the one with the Beis HaMikdash. How in the world could you go after idols and do everything like that? Us, what did you want us? What did you expect from us? That's what it means, right? You didn't have to go to Gilgal or Beis Aven, which were the areas where, I guess, if that was the idea where idol worship was, where the Eglei Azov of Yerubim Ben Nevat was, wherever it was, right? Don't go to those places. You won't have to worry about it. Kikfara Sorera. Sorry, Yisrael. But Yisrael has gone away like a para, like a para sorera, like a ben soramori, like a cow that goes off. Asa yirem Hashem ki kevitz merachov. Now HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowed to like feed him like a kevitz merachov. In other words, usually when it's Bnei Yisrael only become that like that axe that like breaks through its yoke and like tries to go and do whatever it wants to do when they have a lot of riches. When they have everything they need, then they look toward everybody else and they're just like, we're fine. Don't worry. I'm going to just stay away from me. That's the time when they're sitting like that. That's the idea behind the Amloes. Chabur atzabim Ephraim. Ephraim is attached to the idols. Hanachlo. Leave him alone. There's nothing he can do. He's so attached to the Baalim and Ashteros. You remember the Baalim were the masculine version. The Ashteros were the feminine version. They're so attached to it, they can't deal with getting anything else but this. That's the idea behind it. Riga, what he's trying to say. And look at what Rashi says over here. He's attached to Avodah Zarah to the point where he can't separate. Therefore, the Navi, Hosea, is told, don't go anywhere near him. It's not worth it. You're not going to build anything over there.
This one says there's no leaders. Out of Brian because of Yerubim.
Yeah, Yosef. Hey, it's clear it's Yosef. Sor Tzavom, they drink too much. Chazne, he's new, they take to adultery. Habu Hevu, right, they're rulers love getting stuff. They love gifts. Kalamigi now. And they love to have dishonor. In other words, to knock down other people. They're like, look what happened to that guy. Look what happened over there. Sora rule. ruach osa, the wind has bound her up or tied her up together with her wings, and that's the ruach of shtus, the ruach of evil, that they're able to grab them. The avosha means they close them. They're ashamed because of their sacrifices of what they were able to do. Everybody has been ashamed of what Ephraim was able to do and how they were acting in front of everybody else. Okay, that was all regarding what was going to be to Klal Yisrael as a whole. Now Hoshea is going to come to Yehuda. Now remember, Yisrael has not been exiled yet. Hoshea is warning them of what's going to be in the future if they don't learn from Bnei Yisrael. This is going to include the Kohanim that were in the Beis HaMikdash itself, and that's what's going to be. Now, every time that we say Beis Yisrael, even though it's mentioned over here, it's going to refer to the Bnei Yehuda. The reference over here is because it does mention the Kohanim and the Melech, and the real Melech at the time was still the Malchus Yehuda. She was also Kohanim, the Ekshivu Beis Yisrael. Listen to this old Kohanim, and all you should listen, O house of Bnei Yisrael. Beis HaMelech Hazvinu, all the house of the king should hear this Kilachem HaMishpat. You guys have the
Mishpat.
Does he really?
Moshe didn't.
He's been going with a barbell.
Because they were putting, they're putting their idols on the path so that they will not go to Bim Olarego.
There we go. That I have also, the Amelie has also mentioned that Bnei Yisrael states that it's referenced to Yeruvim and Nevot once again, exactly, the two that he put up over here. Nonetheless, he's been going with the Abarbanel the whole time. The Abarbanel seems to be saying, right, that it's taking it like this. Oh, no, he quotes the Abarbanel later that says it refers to Ephraim. First of all, Ephraim. Ibn Ezra is the one that says that it refers to Beis Yehuda. Do you have it over there?
I do not have it. Oh, yeah. Here, right.
See, it's referring to that.
You
have to assume that, but that's not a good raya. Is there anything else that says regarding Yehuda itself? What does the Radak say? Yehuda. Okay, so that must be it. He's going with the Radak. It says this way. So we have two different, maybe three different translations of what's
the Radak runs out from the fact that it says he's talking to the Kohanim and Beit Yisrael. The Kohanim were presumably in the Beis HaMikdash, which was in Yehuda.
Yeah, you'd assume because Shevet Levi joined them. You have been a snare upon Mitzvah, the Reshes Prusal Tavor. You have a net spread upon Tavor. And again, that makes a little bit easier when you're referring to Yerubim and Avot. They would trap people by mitzvah and tavor from going to Yerushalayim. But perhaps it's the other way. Yehuda was so great that they're making the people in mitzvah and tavor look so bad. The Shechatu Seitim Hamiku, they have gone stray and they have become deeper in what they've been doing wrong. I'm reproving them all. Everybody has done wrong here in what they've done. I know Ephraim and Bnei Yisrael have not been lost from me. In other words, obviously, I know what's going on. I see that Bnei Ephraim and Bnei Yisrael have done tumah. Their deeds do not allow them l'shuv elohem. Because it was a ruach nus within them, and they do not know HaKadosh Baruch Hu whatsoever. And the idea is, again, they have that nus, that's what we said before, they had the drinking that they had had, and they couldn't get themselves to do anything that was right. For Anagon Yisrael, the pride of Bnei Yisrael is going to answer the front of Yisrael, that find you kashal ba'avonim, kashal gam yudimam. That even though Bnei Yisrael and Ephraim did sin, there's no question that Yehuda is going to sin together with them. It's going to happen to them as well. But some of them have come, they're going to go with their flocks and all their cattle. They're going to try to find a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but he's withdrawn from them. In other words, they won't give up their riches. They're willing to go search for a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but they have to keep what they have. And they're going, but they're slowed down by their cattle and their sheep and what they have over there. And that is something that was absolutely wrong.
I understand what was wrong about that.
They said to themselves, we're only willing to find a Kadosh Baruch Hu as long as we can keep up the lifestyle that we already have.
Right.
We're not willing to find a Kadosh Baruch Hu.
Who doesn't
right? If it's going
yeah,
to
I'm not necessarily
agreed. These people should have been able to. Wait, but you guys realize that you were the exact opposite of each other, right?
What did you say?
He was sarcastic when he said, don't we want the best of both worlds?
And what did you say?
I'm like, I don't understand the issue with this. I don't see what the problem is right here. Like, they're sitting down, like, we don't want to be in the poorhouse. Like, we should be
sometimes you
like,
have to sacrifice in order
to get that, better. Where is this, like, where is that, like, hey, that's part of the deal? Like, I don't see that as being part of the conditions.
If the whole issue in the first place.
No. Everything's unwritten. You don't
want to have your take in. The whole issue in the first place.
Why are you not wearing sackcloth in the streets of Jerusalem?
No. If the Holy Spirit in the first place is that they're sinning because of their riches, then clearly they need to get rid of their riches in order to do tshuva. And when they're saying, we're going to keep our riches, we're just going to do better now.
But wait, we can stop sinning with the riches.
That is like
quintessential human nature. Like, I don't know if that you can even ask them that.
Of course you can. Many people have sacrificed everything they own in order to become better people. Many people have done it's not about that. Again, it's that these people are sitting there and saying they're conditionalizing it. They're saying, listen, we do want to find you a Kodesh Baruch Hu, but yeah, it's like that. A Kodesh Baruch Hu is like, that's not enough. You haven't done enough for me to be able to have that.
When we daven, we ask for tshuva, we always ask for, like, you know, hopefully without you
still rachamim,
without the rachamim.
But are you willing to take it? Are you willing to be moser nefesh?
Hope so.
There you go. That's what Shema Yisrael is all about. Okay, if you're willing to
do you know how much suffering you can handle? I don't know.
No.
Right.
No, but yes, I am willing to take it upon myself, whatever I need to do. Realistically, chas v'shalom, something like that happened.
In the Gemara, the Amoraim, they were said, you know, one Amor was said to the one, you know, why am I suffering? He's like, well, you finished all your sins, you're just getting more reward. He's like, I'm not interested in your reward, I'm not interested in the sickness.
We're talking about Daf Hei and Brachos.
So yeah, and so they, and it was more than one who said, yeah, it was two or three who said,
it was Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said it to somebody, and then he said it himself. Okay, so I can't argue that point, but I hear the point. I do hear the point. There are even Talmidei Chachamim that are not willing to do so much. They're not willing to die. Whatever, you know what I'm saying?
Human beings have
That was the limit. They say if Hanani Mishael Azariah would have been tortured, then they would have bowed down to the idol. That's a Gemara in Sanhedrin.
Were they thrown into a fiery furnace?
Thrown into a furnace.
That's pretty torturous.
If they would have been tortured, meaning that they would have bowed down.
As opposed to just dying quickly. Start doing a lot of different
things. It's a crazy thing. But no, that's a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Hashem Bagadu, they've dealt treacherously against the Kodesh Baruch Hu.
If they had sins to make up, they might have
suffered
suffering.
That's a good call. Kibbutim Zarim Yoladu, because they have already had strange children. Ata Yochlem Chodesh Haskalkeim. Now a new moon is going to devour all their portions. Everything will happen in this coming up month. The month of Av, it's going to be terrible for everybody. Tiku Shofar Begiva, blow the shofar and giva. This is one of the psukim that we are not allowed to say, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, regarding shofros, when we are allowed to say certain psukim from Nevi'im, right? You can't say this. Tikra shofar begiva, chatzot shofar ramah, the trumpet in the ramah, hariyu beis oven, sound the alarm at beis oven, akareka bin yamin, after you bin yamin. It's all coming after you. In other words, they're all coming back. Everybody's going around. Ephraim l'shamalti, Ephraim will be desolate on that day, the yantul chaych on that day of Moshe b'shiti Yisrael al-dati na'amana, and I will make known, right, who is faithful and who is not. Let's just finish off the parashah. The prince of Judah, they're going to remove the landmark. In other words, they're going to start going into the land of Ephraim, which is right above them. I'm going to pour out my wrath upon them, because then Yehuda is going to start doing exactly like them. Ephraim is oppressed. They are crushed. Mishpah, because of the judgment that was upon them. Because they went after their idolatry, which they thought was their own command. But I became to Ephraim like a moth, the karaka of Beis Judah, as rot to the house of Judah. Ephraim saw all the sickness of Yehuda's Mizoro. Yehuda saw his wound. Ephraim went over to the Assyrians. And he sent over to the king of Yarev, and the king that was there. But he will not be able to heal you, nor cure you of your wound. Ephraim is looking everywhere else to be able to find help, and not to a Kodesh Baruch Hu. I'm like a lion to Ephraim, like a young lion to the house of Yehuda. I am who I am. Etrof ve'elech. I will tear and go off. When I carry away, there's none that's going to save from me. And obviously that's referring to Ephraim being sent into Golos. I will go back to my place until they become guilty. Another referring to Yehuda. And they're going to search for my face. In their pain, they're going to call out to me, and I'm going to see, and maybe the basic makes the shul survive. Guys, we'll stop with that.